Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management. This morning, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about the Community Foundation, of the Rappahannock River region. We welcome back longtime friend Lisa Beaver. Lisa, good to have you here. Good morning.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks, Ted.
It is good to have you here. It's been a long time since we've talked about the Community Foundation, all the great work you do, and we're going to really hone in on a couple of programs. But first, for people that aren't aware, talk about what the Community Foundation does. Because you're really more and more, I see your name pop up more and more with things. You do some really good things in the community.
Thank you for saying that, and be careful what you ask for, because I can talk a lot about the Community Foundation.
I figured you could.
Yeah. So for folks that don't know, the Community Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit. We just last year celebrated our 20th anniversary, so we're 21 years old in the community, and our mission is about advancing philanthropy. So we believe we live in a generous community that, you know, this region is full of great people who want to do great things, and we want to make it easy for them to do that. So we manage and distribute charitable giving funds for the region that we call the Rappahannock River region, but Spotsylvania, Stafford, King George, Caroline, and the city of Fredericksburg is our sort of geographic focus. And we take on challenges that donors might face in a knowledgeable and responsible way. So sometimes donors might have concerns about tax implications with their giving, or sometimes you're giving at a level where you have reporting requirements, or you want to be really confident of what kind of grants that you're making, what kind of gifts you're giving in the community. Is it really being used the way you wanted it to be used, or is, you know, what's the most efficient, effective way to make a gift? And so the Community Foundation, we do screening on nonprofits before we distribute these grants, and we work with nonprofits to gather information about how it turned out. How did it turn out with this gift? Were you able to build the shelter that you wanted to build? Are we able to help the children that you wanted to help? And it would try to be a partner with these nonprofits while we're a partner with these donors too. Right now, I mentioned that we administer funds on behalf of donors. We have 162 funds now, and so these have all been established by generous individuals, families, businesses that have entrusted the Community Foundation to do their charitable giving, or to manage that process. And so we have open communication with these donors about how we're going to invest the money, how the money is going to be distributed. And last year in our 2018 fiscal year, delivered $1.3 million back out into the region.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. In the form of, that all goes out in the form of grants and scholarships that we're making. So the total funds invested with us right now are $22 million, which we're super excited about. And then, like I said, we are able to, the idea is that this is, we're creating a permanent resource for the city of Fredericksburg and these four counties that I mentioned, and that it's going to grow over time while also delivering resources into the community. So if you think about being in a position to cut a check to a nonprofit or a charity that you care about, or this is more the idea of setting up an investment that's going to distribute profits each year in perpetuity forever. So it's sort of a, it's a very powerful, we think, way to be doing charitable giving in the community.
And a lot of times I know people will think, well, I don't have nearly enough money. And I guess that's where you can sit down with somebody and you know, guide them through that. You don't have to be a person who has a huge amount, that there are you know, small and probably, you know, intermediate kind of amounts that can still make a difference.
Right. So something that, so the We handle the funds that we build. When I mentioned these 162 funds, those are ranging from $10,000 up to millions of dollars. We manage funds like that, but we do have pooled funds and pooled giving opportunities where folks that are giving really gifts in any size. So we have something called the Community Fund, mm-hmm. which is a pooled fund that many donors have contributed to, and each year, our Board of Governors, which we have an amazing Board of Governors at the Community Foundation that I like to brag about, but they determine a focus for how that grant money from the Community Fund will be spent. So sometimes there's a pressing issue, like recently, I think a lot of people are concerned about the opioid epidemic in our region, or at one time, teen pregnancy was a really pressing concern. So, this is a way that we can all work together to take on something that's really a big, daunting issue, but have, when we work together, we really have an opportunity to take on some of these things. And then I think a little bit later this morning, love to tell you about the Women and Girls Fund, which is another pooled giving opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we have something called Youth and Philanthropy, where we involve high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors in charitable giving. We teach them how to review grants, how to interview nonprofit applicants, and how to debate who's going to make the biggest impact in our community as far as how best to apply scarce giving resources.
Well, this community, and every time you come in and we talk about this, it really comes to the forefront. We're really fortunate to have a community foundation in this area.
Well, I certainly think so, but I think you can really see, and especially if you look at communities that have had a community foundation in place longer than we have, like some places in Ohio, they've been around for 100 years. Hmm. There's a community foundation in Richmond that started in the 60s, I think, or it might have been the 70s. But you can really see how over time there's this snowball effect of people coming together, resources coming together, and they're really able to make a huge impact in their community in a really positive way.
And so I guess if someone really wants to get involved, just contact.
Yes,
just contact
so you guys. Our website is C like Charlie, F like Frank, RRR.org, CFRRR.org. And the phone number there is 373-9292. But yeah, we'd love to talk to folks about charitable giving. That's, we are giving nerds. That's all we want to talk about.
Lisa Bieber with the Community Foundation of the Rappahannock River Region is in this morning. That's what we're talking about. And you mentioned the Women and Girls Fund. When we come back, we'll jump into that and talk about some of the various things with the Women and Girls Fund. It's been around for a few years and doing some great things. And we will hear about it when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shoup.
Lisa Bieber here from the Community Foundation. We're talking about their good work this morning. The website, again, is CFRRR.org if you want to get involved and find out more about the Community Foundation and what they have going on. Before we get out of here this morning, too, there is a deadline coming up for scholarships for high school seniors. We'll talk about that in a little bit, Lisa, but I can personally tell you there are some great things available through that, and it's getting to the end of the line, but there still is an opportunity. But before we get into that, the Women and Girls Fund has been something that's been around for, we've done, I know, over the years, a number of programs on it.
So we are coming up on our 10th anniversary of grant making.
Shut up!
Yes, yeah, I know, it's hard to believe.
Yes.
It's been around for 10 years, and it's a very exciting anniversary. So we're just this month, our Women and Girls Fund members are going to be gathering together to meet this year's grant applicants at an event that we call our live ballot event, and it's the 10th annual. So they're going to be, each of them is going to be casting a ballot to choose who should get a grant or grants this year from the Women and Girls Fund.
It started, I know, I mean, it's gotten women and girls involved in this, and you've amassed a good amount of money to be able to do what you've been able to do over the years.
Right. So we're the concept behind the Women and Girls Fund. There are several big ideas behind it, but started, like I said, 10 years ago or a little before that. And the idea was to gather women together to pool resources to be able to give money to programs in the community that benefit girls and women. So there's all kinds of programs that do that, and they all need resources. And so this Women and Girls Fund is being built to address that. And the big vision is to have 1,000 women, and each woman gives $1,000, and that creates $1 million endowment, a permanently invested endowment,
yeah.
So that each year a percentage of the proceeds from that endowment can go out into the community to help girls and women. And so right now it's at a level that we are making grants each year of about $20,000, which is great. And nonprofits can use grants of really any size and get things done. You'd be
sure.
Amazed like
yeah.
How far they can then stretch dollars. But we want to just bring more and more resources because there's so much need, and there's so many exciting opportunities to help.
And I guess this is the kind of thing still, if women want to get involved, you're always looking for more women.
Yeah, so we're not at 1,000 women yet. I don't think we would stop at 1,000 women,
yeah.
But 1,000 women is definitely our goal. And we very much welcome people to join. I mean, we actually have fellows of the fund, too. We have some men who believe in the work that we're doing.
Okay.
And have contributed and become, we say fellows of the fund, who have made a contribution
yeah.
to this grant pool to support this work. Sometimes folks will do it in memory of their mother, a sister, or
yeah.
sometimes just to honor someone that they love in their life. But and for me, when I first was introduced to the concept of the fund, I thought $1,000, that doesn't sound like me. But it doesn't have to be paid in all at once.
I was going to ask you about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So what I did was I just did $200 a year for 5 years
yeah.
to become a member, and it was easy, and that felt like, you know, I felt comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
And I've seen people have broken it down into other kinds of payments too, but we're happy to work with anybody. And then some people thought, I know one woman that I talked to thought she had to renew it, like do $1,000 again and again. It's like, no,
you just do
it one time, and then you're a member of the fund. And then one of the things I love about it is that I get to be hands-on with making these decisions about how the grant mm-hmm. money will be spent. And so I love going to this live ballot event and these different candidates. Like, some of the folks that have gotten the grants in the past have been like Empower House, that works with women affected by domestic violence, and something called Stafford Junction, which is like a community
mm-hmm.
Program up in Stafford. They were actually one of our grant winners last year to do a life skills program with some women who didn't have a lot of community resources to draw on. So they were doing financial literacy and parenting skills and nutrition programming and, you know, stuff that I really think makes a difference. So you meet these applicants, they tell you about the work that they want to do with the grant money, and then we actually cast a ballot. So we mark, you know, who we choose, and then those all go in, and then, you know, the votes are tallied. And this year we're doing something a little bit different. There's going to be an event in April that's going to be a community event called 1,000 Women. And it's going to be at the University Center, University of Mary Washington campus. And we're going to reveal this year's grant winner at that. And that's going to be a public event. Anybody, whether they're a member
yeah.
or not, is very much welcome to come to that.
Well, what's exciting about this, Lisa, is just to think that 1,000 women, in $1 million, and it shows you that when you start pooling money, and that's, as we've talked about, it was when we started out, just the concept of the Community Foundation, you get people together and pooling money, and you can really do some significant things.
Yes, I'm a huge, through my whole career, one of the common threads is collaboration. I really a believer in collaboration,
yeah.
a believer in working together. And so I definitely landed in the right place at the Community Foundation some years ago. And it's very exciting to see what can be accomplished.
Well, and especially in this case of just that the Women and Girls Fund has just been fascinating to me to watch over the years. I didn't realize it had been 10 years, though. It does make me feel older.
Uh-oh.
That we've been following it that long. Yeah. But the women got together and, you know, saw the need and really are, you know, involved in what you said, $20,000 in you know, grants and scholarships this year. That's pretty substantial to
yes.
a lot, because like you say, a lot of these nonprofits who are able to take part in that, they can do some pretty spectacular things.
Yes, yeah, that we see. There's another program called Open Hand, and they do it's a mentoring program, and there are teens in our community who, you know, might potentially be at risk for, you know, different things. But this program provides job skills, and it actually places them in internships and provides resources so that these students have a paid internship where they are learning these skills and really having something to put on their resume. It's a very solid leg up for some students that need it. And so they have a program for teen girls that the Women and Girls Fund has supported. That was one of the grant recipients last year in 2018.
And there are so many programs like that. You mentioned that. You mentioned Stafford Junction. Just a
yes,
number of
yep.
programs in the area mm-hmm. that a lot of times don't get a lot of, we don't even know they're there.
Right, yeah, there are some, there's one called Girl Smarts that.
Boy, that is good, yeah.
Yeah, have you heard of that
yes.
one? Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
they're in
Yeah,
schools,
she's been in.
Yeah, working with, you know, they, some of these preteen, like if you can get these positive messages to preteen girls before, you know, maybe they are faced with some of the challenges that kids these days get faced with, it is really, sort of insulating them or protecting them, making them more resilient in the face of different challenges that they might face. So the Girl Smarts program is, they just have fantastic program, very positive messages
yeah.
For girls. You know, I think they're at the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade level, and I think that's really great. I have a sixth grade daughter, and I'm like, heck yeah, please bring the positive messages, because they so early they're already facing, you know, bullying and you
yeah.
know just different things that. I'm not sure I was facing them at that
no,
age.
I was gonna, so, yeah.
yeah.
No,
yeah,
they're another one that's right up there in the forefront dealing with issues in the community. And I guess one of the things, because I know sometimes I get frustrated that you hear about some of these programs and you think, oh, I wish I could have known, you know, I wish
yeah.
I knew about it. So, you know, you could come in here or, you know, we could talk about it. And I'm sure in your case, a lot of times it's, you know, if you've got a program like this, there are ways that the Community Foundation can help you through some of these
yes,
grants.
Yes, we love to. So one of the things the Community Foundation is really good at is really being knowledgeable about the good work that's happening in our community, the needs that are here, and then these solutions that are being put into place by all different nonprofits
mm-hmm.
In all, you know, and the Community Foundation covers, you know, environment, education, social services, the arts. You know, there's all kinds of things that we're involved with, but we want to always be increasing our knowledge and connecting the dots between these nonprofits that need support and the generous
yeah.
people that we consider to be our, you know, customers, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, we love to hear about programs because we do want to be able to help.
CFRRR.org is the website. It's the Community Foundation of the Rappahannock River Region. Lisa Beaver here this morning, the Director of Donor Services, and we have much more to talk about. We need to take a break, and we will continue. When we come back, Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More with Lisa Beaver on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now coming up on 829.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Chu.
Lisa Beaver here with the Director of Donor Services with the Community Foundation. We are talking Community Foundation and specifically this morning a lot with the Women and Girls Fund. You were talking about, we talked a little bit about it, about this 1,000 women event that's going to come up. And then you said that's in April?
Yes. So that is April 11th. It's a Thursday. It's going to be a dinner event.
Okay.
Everyone is invited. And it's going to, we're going to have a really interesting keynote speaker named Kira Oliver. She wrote a book called 8 Ways of Being. And she just has a... She just has a life, I think, that many people can relate to, and it's definitely a triumph. She had suffered a tragic loss as a mother, and she was able to return from that experience and really, live a joyful, productive a life, I think, I think of life goals, hashtag life goals,
yeah.
a life that that we could be excited about. And she wants to share, just her experience and things that she learned along the way. And I think, self-care is a concept that is, I hear a lot of people talking about, and I think some people feel like it's, maybe like a soft concept, like, mm-hmm. Oh, yes, put on your yoga pants and have a latte and, that's self-care.
Yeah.
But, self-care is real. Like, we really need to take care of ourselves in today's world. And I think she has some real exercises and ideas that I think are going to be valuable to people. So I'm excited that she's going to come. Some of the other things is... she started a nonprofit in honor of her son. She's also an entrepreneur. She started a company called Oliver Creative. So I think that's going to be a neat keynote that I think, is going to be a fun thing for us to come together at this dinner. I think I mentioned it's on the campus of Mary Washington at the University Center in their Chandler Ballroom. And it's, again, Thursday, April 11th. We don't have tickets on sale for that yet, but they will be available on the Community Foundation website,
okay.
CFRRR.org. But 1,000 women, so that's two simple words that really sum up the vision of the Women and Girls Fund. And we hope that all of our membership will be coming. We hope that people who are just interested in the concept of this. And then I think I also mentioned that we're going to reveal our 2019 Women and Girls Fund grant winner or winners will also be available there. Mm-hmm. And so we'll announce that grant winner at that event too.
That's pretty exciting though.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Well, and just the fact that it has been 10 years. I'm still trying to sink in,
yeah.
Because I can remember,
right?
I can remember that you came and I remember doing shows even before it started, just the whole concept was coming together. And then, 10 years later, it's growing and really having an impact in the community.
Yeah, it's grown so much. And I really love the concept behind it. I love being part of something that I feel like is really making a difference. And then also, just like personally and professionally, I really like this community of people that are gathered around,
yeah,
this idea. So I get to, when I go to these events, I really get to meet. I've met, there's some women who are, maybe my mom's age or older, and just getting, I'll be sitting at one of these tables at one of these events and just get to know, like, they're starting tech companies in our region. They're,
yeah,
they've done all this stuff that, they're sort of like, if I knew their whole story, they'd be, my hero. And then here I am sitting next to them and just getting to meet people. I love it.
I've been to a few events, and what always struck me was just the wide range of ages.
Yes. Yeah.
There were some people that obviously had just mm-hmm. in the last few years gotten out of college that were involved and like you say, older. And it was just a nice range of people. And that's what the any community, yeah, just benefits
we
by.
We actually
something.
Just, I'm glad you mentioned the age range, because I might not have thought to mention that. So we just had Jenna Lee McNally. Terry McNally is our executive director of the Community Foundation. Jenna Lee McNally was a charter member of the Women and Girls Fund, celebrated her 100th anniversary, her 100th birthday in January.
Really?
Yeah. Sadly, she passed this year. She passed not long after, but we had a 100-year-old woman in our fund. But now, actually, our board at the Community Foundation has started a fund in Jenna Lee's memory, and all the proceeds from the Jenna Lee McNally Fund are going to support the Women and Girls Fund. Huh. And we actually have a board member who has put up a challenge grant. So if anybody is interested in supporting this effort, there's a right at this moment, there's matching funding. So if you know anybody who, if you made a gift, it would be doubled by this challenge match. So that's, I might not have thought to mention that, but yeah, that's just what, there are so many little special things related to the Community Foundation and related to the Women and Girls Fund.
CFRRR.org. And look for, I think there's a tab for Women and Girls Fund.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We usually get the events right on the main page, or you can find Women and Girls Fund easily on our website.
You've got, in March, you've got another couple of programs for girls in politics, kind of centered around that.
Yeah, so this is a neat opportunity. What happened was there was a woman who was she had declared to run for office in our community and ended up withdrawing her candidacy. Mm-hmm. And so she had some campaign funds that had been donated, and they needed to be used for for a charitable purpose, a positive purpose. And so she donated them to the Community Foundation, to the Women and Girls Fund. And we use that to engage the Political Institute for Women. And they have a program called Camp Congress for Girls or Girls in Politics, where they I am very excited about it. I've actually taken my own daughter to the Camp Congress for Girls in D.C. But what they do is it's a full day workshop where girls are gathering and learning about U.S. government, learning about civics, which is something that I think we don't always get anymore. So learning about our three branches, and then the girls in the workshop will actually choose an office to run for, and then they'll make a campaign poster, they'll run for office, and then we'll have an election. So we learn about elections. And then we'll actually do a mock Congress where we're going to pass a bill. And so we're going to have, one of these girls is going to be our president, our vice president. We're going to have, our Senate majority leader, our minority leader, we're going to pass a bill together. So I'm really looking forward to that. We're having that at the Marriott downtown Fredericksburg.
Okay.
It's $60 is the workshop fee. It includes lunch, and they get a T-shirt. And this training, which is very popular across the nation. And so I'm really excited for us to have it here in Fredericksburg. And we do have, because of the donations that we've received for this, we do have some scholarships available. So if there are girls out there that the $60 is prohibitive, they could use one of these scholarships. If you're a Girl Scout, it's a great opportunity for girls that are involved in scouting, because it offers a citizen legacy badge, which is, a popular badge. And so juniors, cadets, and seniors in the Girl Scouts can get their inside government legacy badge, their Finding Common Ground badge, their behind the ballot badge. This event qualifies for all of those badges.
What is it's at the Marriott. What's the date for it?
Oh, it's March 30th. Saturday, March 30th. Okay. And it is an all-day event, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So we definitely have snacks there for the girls. And some of the girls that are involved in our youth in philanthropy program are going to be there. They're older, and so they're going to be there to facilitate these younger girls that are 10 to 15. So it's neat to involve our youth in philanthropy high school students.
What a great program, though, because just like you say, it gets girls together, and there's a lot are interested in politics, and this gives them, you know, maybe just an earlier start, or at least learning about civics.
I know. I think so, too. I think it's interesting. Yeah, maybe not for everyone, but I think it's exciting for the ones that are excited about it. We also, the same day, because we have these trainers in town, we are offering a workshop for adult women called Advocacy 101. And so the idea behind this is, you know, it seems like you hear about everybody marching these days or, I think there's a lot of opportunities where I feel like, gosh, I'd like to make a difference in my community, and I really don't know how. And does it make a difference to go march? Does it make a difference to write a letter to my elected official? I don't know. So this Advocacy 101 is really nuts and bolts about, if I wanted to make a difference in my community, how would I do that? And so the agenda for the day talks about, well, what's the difference between advocacy and lobbying, and how do you communicate with your elected officials? What makes a difference? Like, what will they really listen to? And then what if I wanted to start an issue campaign? What if there's something that I care about? Or what if there's some legislation that I keep hearing people talk about? I know a lot of people recently were really watching the legislation about when schools could open, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's things that really affect us and maybe we'd like to weigh in on. So we want to know how best to do this. So this will be the same day. And again, it's not the full day workshop. It's a 3-hour workshop in the morning, and it's $60. And again, we have scholarships available. And then on our website, the Community Foundation website, if you wanted to click into biographies of the trainers or the full agenda for the day.
Okay.
And then, of course, the registration is on that website.
Well, and this is all good because sometimes you just think of advocacy. I guess, you know, they're telling you, you know, I'll learn about congressional kind of issues. But this is good. There might be something with your school board that you're interested
in. Exactly.
Or in your neighborhood or something. Or, you know, so there's all kinds of advocacy at any level, and it's just some good information.
Yeah, what I think of is, I know so many passionate people, so many good-hearted people, and I want us all to have the tools to really put that passion into action and not just, you know, sit around the coffee shop and grumble. Or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds,
yeah.
But, you know, that's what, for me, that's kind of how it sums up.
Well, this is all good. Just shows just the kind of the breadth of what the Community Foundation. It's so interesting that just how as you get more funds and you get more different varieties of people involved, that these kind of things, you're able to offer these kind of things.
Yes, yeah, it's exciting.
Because I think, you know, years ago, it might not have been like this. I remember one of the big, and this was a few years ago, when a family here won the lottery, and
yes,
and they gave a good amount, and they started a fund with the Community Foundation. It was a big deal, and I see their name come up, and I see that they do different things, and I continue to see that come up, and I think, you know, there's an example of someone using some money that continues to help a lot of people in the community with
yes,
different in different areas.
Yeah, that was an exception. That's been a couple of years ago now that we call it the Honeywell Fund.
Yeah,
that's right. Honeywell Endowment Fund.
Yep.
Yeah, just out of the blue, this couple suddenly had the means to make a difference. And it was one of the first things that, you know, they won the Powerball.
Yeah.
And they met with a gentleman who's both an accountant and an attorney and happens to be a founding board member of the Community Foundation. And in this initial meeting with him, when they had this newfound wealth, they wanted to make a difference. They wanted to support. I remember food banks. You know, and food pantries was very important to them. Programs that really benefit people who might fall through the cracks or who really need a leg up in our community. And they had a number of different charities that they wanted to support. And their accountant and attorney being familiar with the Community Foundation concept, you know, it's the perfect way to, if you want to make a difference in a number of places, you know, you want to give to a variety of charities or issues, then the single fund at the Community Foundation makes it simple, you know, it makes
yeah.
it, it was, you know, they were able to make one gift, and then that gift keeps giving and keeps giving. And in our region.
Yeah, no, I see it, and I always think back to I remember when the day they announced it and how how excited you all were.
Oh, yeah, we were beside ourselves. We had no, it was super
and
exciting.
And it opened up a lot of things, and you've been able to do a lot of things through it over the years.
Well, it was really like our community won the lottery.
Yes.
I mean, it felt like we all won because
that's a good way to put it.
Because we really did.
Yeah.
You know, it really has happened that way.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We will wrap this up with Lisa Beaver and the Community Foundation. When we come back, we're going to talk about scholarships, something that you may not be aware of, but if you have a student in your house, you may want to listen up. And we'll also, again, give you some more information on a couple of these programs coming up on with the Women and Girls Fund. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Lisa Beaver here this morning. She's with the Community Foundation, the Director of Donor Services, CFRRR.org, the website for the Community Foundation. All kinds of good information there. And we'll talk before we get out of here again this morning about the Women and Girls Fund and just getting involved with the Community Foundation. The time is running short if you want to sign up for school scholarships of seniors in a high school. But I guess even if there still is time to put something together. And if not, even if you've got somebody that maybe in a few years from now, I didn't know that the Community Foundation did so much for high school seniors. And 4 years ago, I learned.
That's right.
It's pretty spectacular.
Oh, yeah. My son,
Neil, found all of these scholarships and got a bunch of them. And it made a big difference his first year in college.
Of course, yeah. And I think, you know, our scholarships at the Community Foundation are of varying sizes, varying amounts of award is given. But even, you know, some of the smaller ones, that validation that a student feels when they are a winner of one of these scholarships and the way that motivates them when they're heading out into their freshman year. So, I can't believe. And I think you just said that Neil's graduating.
He's graduated
so,
for 4 years.
Time is flying, yeah.
But I really didn't know. And you did it back then, and I guess you still do. You did a really nice program for all the winners, and they were acknowledged. And it really, you know, it was a nice, as a parent, it was a nice thing.
Yes, we do try to do that because, again, just on this theme of connecting generous people with the people that they're impacting in our community, you know, that's sort of the role of the Community Foundation. So we do have a lovely scholarship reception where many times the families who have contributed funds to create these scholarships can meet the families of the students. That is a special event. So we have mentioned earlier in the show that we administer charitable funds on behalf of donors. So some of these funds are scholarship funds. We have 41 different scholarship funds that we administer right now, and they're just for our community. They're just for Caroline, King George, Stafford, Spotsylvania, and Fredericksburg. And this year we'll give away nearly $140,000 to, it's usually about 60 students. You know, some of these scholarship funds make multiple awards. And they're typically for graduating seniors. Now, the thing today to be aware of is that our deadline is Sunday. It's just a few days away. And so if you haven't started one of these scholarship applications, you would really need to hustle to get it in because you do need to have a letter of recommendation. Some of our athletic scholarships, you would need a recommendation from your coach. Mm-hmm. Some of them have a faith-based element, so you would want a pastor or someone to write a letter of recommendation. All of this information's on our website. Again, that's C like Charlie, F like Frank, R, RR.org. So all different, and the online system though walks you through. You might not know, well, am I eligible for this softball scholarship? Would I be considered for this scholarship? The system will walk you through. So you key in where you go to high school, what county you live in, and then you answer a series of questions, and it'll say, here are the scholarships that you might want to apply for, and then you can click through, read the criteria, and decide if you want to do that. And then you upload your essay and so forth. I've mentioned the deadline, Sunday, March 3rd. You do have till 11 p.m. The system doesn't close until 11 p.m. So that might give a little bit of extra time, but probably the critical path for students that were starting their application now would be seeing what those recommendation requirements and the school counselor requirements are, to make sure that your counselor is available to share your
get
transcript
you
and stuff. Yeah. But, and certainly if you are if you are a junior or a sophomore.
Check these out. Get an idea or have your student get an idea.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's time to pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these are great scholarships. And if you can't hustle, you know, maybe you can get something in. But like you say, if you've got a sophomore or a junior, especially, start thinking about this and know that they're available, because every little bit helps. As expensive as college is for things, I know in my son's case, he got several, and they made a real difference that first year.
Yes.
So just another example of what the Community Foundation does. Before we get out of here again, the Women and Girls Fund, you have an event on April 11th at the University of Mary Washington.
Yes.
And you can find out that tickets will go on sale soon, and there'll be tickets. Just check cfrrr.org.
And we do have tickets already available for the two workshops that are on March 30th. So love to have folks join us for those. Those are open to any girl 10 to 15 years old or any woman in the community that's interested in the idea of advocacy and being just an effective citizen in our community. And we'd love to invite women to join our Women and Girls Fund. So feel free to reach out with a phone call or visit our website or email us to talk more about that.
A lot of good things going on, and that's really whether you've got you've got kids in scholarships, or you decide you want to get involved with the Women and Girls Fund. Just go and check out the website. Look around. It may be a whole new concept that you didn't realize was here, but you're here and doing some great things in the community.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you'll discover lots of intriguing things.
CFRRR.org. Lots of stuff going on. Lisa, it's good to catch up with you.
I know. Great to see you. Thank you so much for having us.
We will do this again, and good luck with all of this, and especially with the Women and Girls Fund. We'll continue to watch the progress and see all the good things. So thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you, Ted.
Lisa Beaver is Director of Donor Services with the Community Foundation of the Rappahannock River Region, CFRRR.org. That's it for Town Talk this morning. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.